Okay, so we are talking about R is for Romeo, which does not mean most of the things that we initially thought it would mean, but
No sex
one
there.
of the things we thought it would mean, which is East Coast time zone. So at least we got one of the five theories right. And so first impressions. So I know a little bit about what you guys
Hi,
have.
Cody.
I know, sorry, my dog. We know a little bit.
Everyone knows your dog.
I know, my God, my sweet dog. So I know a little bit about what you both thought about it. Let's start with Sarah, who I think really enjoyed it, and was actually quite taken with the Carrie and Quinn scenes. So, what do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, so I did like it. I didn't love it. There hasn't really been an episode of the season of the season this year that I've loved. I liked it, bordered on really liked it. I like really, especially on rewatch, although I haven't rewatched the full thing, but I made like 12 gift sets or something. And I like the Carrie Quinn scenes to me were definitely the strongest part of the episode and really the centerpiece of the episode. And I was on edge for basically all of their scenes because I was expecting something more, I think, romantic and kind of more shippy to happen, but it didn't, which I was pleasantly surprised about. I just really loved all of the interactions that they had, and I liked that they kind of gave them in a Homelandian way, like a kind of like truth bearing moment where he could reveal, you know, how furious he was with her about the Berlin stuff, and she could kind of absorb that and not really fight back and become defensive. And I like that, you know, she admitted to him that it was never just about the mission. And I really, really loved the scene in the flag house after he kills,
Valley.
where he's talking about, you know, how he doesn't have a heart. And I like loved that scene, and it affected me a lot in a way that I did not expect. Similar to the Y scene from 602, but in a much different way, because I think it's less sort of on the surface affecting. But yeah, I really liked all their scenes together, and in a way that I wasn't expecting, because I have a rocky relationship with that pairing. So overall, I did like the episode.
Well, I think later we might want to loop back to your rocky relationship with the pairing, because there's been some fun things this week, or the last, sorry, not this week. It's just been, what, 24 hours?
Since
It
yesterday.
feels like it's been a week.
Rupert
But
is
it's
at the
been a
panel.
year.
Sorry, we might I might interrupt the podcast because the For Your Consideration panel is on right now, and Rupert is there. Right before we started
I know, I
recording,
just
I
saw the
said
tweet.
it'll be really funny if he doesn't show up, but he's there and looking quite buff in a
He is looking buff.
And like a black button down. His hair looks better.
What are you looking at?
We're looking on Twitter.
Twitter.
Anyways, sorry, I
Oh, so
interrupted.
people are just tweeting photos from
Yeah, the Showtime accounts.
For your consideration thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just be happy to interrupt this regularly scheduled program before any kind of updates, because they might be interesting. So Ashley, you are a little more tepid, it sounds like, around the episode.
So again, my not again, again, but my feelings were sort of made of my expectations were lower than usual for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it's safer to have low expectations with this show, just in general. Second, because Cynthia was texting me before the episode just saying how much she hated it. And third because it's just easier to just sit down and watch and turn off your brain when it comes to this show, at least for me, because it gets to be so stressful. Mm-hmm. And I say that not being Sarah. I don't know how Sarah exists from day to day.
Excuse like, me.
I don't know how you do.
Excuse me. I think that, so the two episodes, actually, I guess the three episodes this season that I've watched and had like really negative reactions to, or just like very sort of visceral reactions to, were ones where I was watching with another person. So I watched 601, 602, and 605, like not alone. And I do much better when I watch this show alone, which really builds well for this upcoming weekend since we'll all be watching it together in the same room. But I'm like much more zen just when I'm like mm-hmm. alone by myself and I can just like say out loud exactly what I'm thinking. Like during that first scene, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Just like out loud, because I could, but like I would never say that if I was watching with someone else, or if I did, it would be like not yelling it, but like whispering it probably.
Oh my gosh, you so can. But anyway, I found myself spending most of the episode looking at the clock, not to find out how much time was left because I wanted it to be over, but because I was like, this is the 11th episode of the season. We are 30 minutes in, so we have max 30 more minutes. And, like, where are they going with this? I don't usually feel like that bodes well. I don't feel like they are close enough to wrapping anything up for the finale. There are still way too many loose threads. And I just didn't feel like we got very far in this episode.
I think that's a totally valid criticism, actually. And you guys made me sort of venture into critics' land this morning. And I like read, or I skimmed the review from the AV Club, and it had a similar sort of thesis in that this conspiracy theory like plot line that they're spitting this season keeps getting deeper and deeper every single episode, to the point that what started as something that might have been quasi believable has now become so over, like so over the top, like O'Keefe is actually like run by the government, like it's so crazy. And they keep spinning it like a layer more deeply, and it's at risk of becoming like too big. Like, I agree with you, so big that they're gonna forget about plot lines, and then it's just like not gonna make sense. I mean,
which is kind of like what happened with Hakani in season 4, right? No, it got so huge, and then they never picked it up again. Season 5, season 6.
Well, I think that
doesn't anyone care about my fucking opinion?
I do in 30 seconds when I make my point. I think that, you know, since I guess you could say since the start of season 4, each of the kind of main storylines, like the main plot lines, have kind of existed. I don't want to say in a vacuum, but they're independent of each other. So I didn't expect the Hakani stuff to be picked up in season 5. At least I don't remember saying that I did. But I mean, I think we've been kind of at similar points. Like, I think that
everything about season 4 was resolved. Like, there was nothing about what do you want resolved, Ashley?
I don't mean resolved. I just mean that it came to a very big place in, like, the 10th or 11th episode and then went nowhere.
What? You're out
of... Well, the Dar part of it. Oh, the Dar part of it, for sure.
Think that was resolved. I mean, now we're doing, like, a season 4 podcast, but I thought that was resolved in the last scene with Carrie when she goes to Dar's house and then she sees Salat on the patio. Anyways, I think that, you know... the general like plot of season 5, season 4, season 3, even season two, I would think, were a lot simpler than this. And this one is, like, very conspiracy-driven, and I think conspiracy-driven plot lines can be somewhat dangerous because they just invite, like, more twists than is palatable, I think, for the average viewer, especially when that's not sort of the typical thing. But then I think, like, at the end of episode 11 of season one, like, nothing was resolved and you actually understood, like, okay, we're about to get to the big event. I suppose the difference there was that they had and devoted 90 minutes to a finale where 90 minutes were actually really necessary to tell the story that they wanted to. And I just know that's not gonna fucking happen this year. It's gonna be like 49 minutes of,
I mean, there are whatever. Two things that I have to say about this season. First of all, the big thing is once they got to episode 6, they should have begun to, that should have been as really as deep as they went, and they should have started unraveling it from the other way, like, to get themselves out of the story, I mean, and I don't feel like they did that.
Kinda did. I think,
we were supposed to be talking about Carrie and Quinn.
Sure, sure, so I think that we should probably
refrain. We're way off topic.
I will play host and say, so I think we should probably refrain from getting too deep into, like, the plot of the entire season until we can see the last episode. Cynthia, what did you think of the episode?
I don't know. Like, I'm feeling a little, like, whatever at this point. I just thought it was horrific. I didn't think that the scenes between Carrie and Quinn were even, I didn't think they resonated. I didn't think they didn't feel important. They felt more far apart than they ever have been. I think they resonated with you, Sarah, because you felt her pain, which is what you are always viscerally able to do with Carrie. You know, he's so completely disconnected, and frankly, I think we deserve more. I actually, the closest thing they got to anything that might have felt like anything conceivably approaching viewer reward, which, by the way, I think is something that matters and is deserved and that they used to do on this show a lot, so I'm not going to defend the desire for that. The closest they came to it was at the doorway. You know, I mean, I felt like that was the closest they came to having some kind of a sort of a mutual understanding that felt like it was integrated and a little bit connected. But even that was like grasping at straws. I mean, he is so underwater. He is on some level so absurd. The monkey scene was so out of character. And I'm not even going to go down the rabbit hole of disabilities and whatever. It felt like writer and directorial hubris to me. You know, it's fine. We get it, guys. We get that you're trying to ruin and take down a heroic character whom everyone adored. Like, we've been watching 10 fucking episodes. Like, I totally get what they're doing. That was literally just like throwing gasoline on an unnecessary, you know, bomb at this point. Like, we totally get what they're doing. And that was just, I felt humiliated for Rupert. I felt humiliated for the show. And that's serious talk for me. Like, I don't talk that way, but I'm really respectful most of the time about what they're trying to do, at least. Whether they do it well or not is a different thing. But in this case, it was horrifying to me. And I was super duper annoyed with the whole, it was not, you know, the fact that this fandom is talking about sex is so hilarious to me at this juncture. And what I expected to see is I expected to see conversations which are actually not that dissimilar from what we got, leaving aside the freaking monkey scene. What I did expect is for there to be, it could have even just been physical. It could have easily been her just falling asleep, you know, on his shoulder or something. Oh, like,
come on, that was small. That's I totally respect your opinion and I have a lot of follow-up questions, but did you honestly believe that Carrie and Quinn having not seen each other for days, and considering kind of what happened in that space and kind of what led to their separation, that she would fall asleep on his shoulder? Did you really think that that was going to happen?
I actually think I will defend that and defend that and defend that. And I'm super fiery tonight because I don't know what went on in the beginning of this discussion, but I was like, what? Like, we like the so. Yes, I actually think the two of them are utterly, completely capable of that kind of thing.
I'm not saying that they're not capable, but I think that within the context of what this episode was trying to achieve, like, I'm the wrong person to ask, because if that would have happened, I probably would have hated the episode. So I am always in favor of less.
I mean, they were screaming at each other. They were screaming at each other in like 4:11. They were screaming at each other in 4:11.
They didn't have a moment where she fell asleep on his shoulder in 4:11. Like 4:11 actually was very
4:12. That's the fucking point. We haven't seen 6:12.
Okay, actually, I think that this episode is actually very similar to 4:11 because they fought a lot, and then at the end of the episode, she has this kind of moment with him where she reveals her true feelings, and then they go off in their separate way. Like that, like it's actually a very similar structure. I think that, like, I'm curious if the monkey scene just had not happened. Like, try to imagine that it just
That's a really good question. The monkey scene kind of poisoned everything for me.
Yeah.
It really did.
That's kind of what I got. I mean, it's like the very first scene. It was extremely jarring. I didn't hate it at all. I actually found it really fascinating and was defending it all day long. But I understand why you guys did not like it. Like, I totally get that. I don't watch the show in the same way that you guys do. So I think I just came at it from a different perspective. But if the monkey scene hadn't happened, like, I that's kind of hard to imagine in like a hypothetical sense, but let's just try to.
Would you have liked
the episode?
No. I mean, I think the entire season is suffering from a dearth of any kind of sweetness. And I don't necessarily mean Carrie Quinn's sweetness. I just mean it. There's a dearth of humor. There's, you know, small glimpses of it here and there. But there's a dearth. It is a vast wasteland of joy. And it's not like there was a ton of it to begin with on this show. But whatever we used to have here and there, you know, glimpses of humor and lightness within the, you know, morass of darkness. I feel like last season was a little bleak, but it was very Le Carre. It was very sort of, you know, spy plotty old. No one really likes season 5, but mostly because it wasn't really dealing with the relationships, meaning Carrie Saul and Carrie Quinn, that we cared about. This season, there's been plenty of Carrie Saul and plenty of Carrie Quinn, but again, very little humor and so little lightness that, you know, whatever one could have expected in a real world, let's take I Love Yous off the table, let's take sex off the table. I expected the writers to deliver, not like, oh, let's throw a bone to the fandom. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a relationship.
That is what you're talking about.
This is what you do, Sarah. You accuse people of watching, wanting some, you know, something from this relationship that feels nice, as, you know, needing, you know, some freaking like it's not nothing. It's actually important for normal narrative storytelling. That's actually, it's not like we're, you know, we need fucking, you know, Disney. That's not what it is. It's actually, people are leaving this fandom. They really are. Like, people who have written fanfics for years have stopped watching. And it's because there's no resonance. Like, I watched this episode and I was like, really, guys? Because, you know, those two deserved And he's actually capable of having a conversation with her beyond these, you know, the level of disconnection that they showed. We know that he's capable of more than that. They've shown that to us. And they just absolutely don't want to go there. And that's fine. That's their choice. But I'm not going to sit here and accept that the expectation after this many years of watching Carrie and Quinn and really caring about that relationship, it's not unworthy or, you know, I think it's absolutely valid to think that that was an okay thing to expect. And I'm at this point in the season, it's 11 episodes in, it's been really bleak. I didn't think that the conversations had the resonance that it needed to. It was Carrie constantly pleading with him, to relate to her in some way. And there was no connection that I saw, actually. And I think if they weren't so fucking scared of it, so I think it's bad writing. I think they're so fucking scared of it, they just didn't do it, and they could have.
I think that the writers, my interpretation is that the writers aren't saying that the Carrie Quinn relationship is unworthy of the type of interaction that you and many others that are watching like want and crave and almost need at this point, because it has been so bleak. Like, no one could argue that the season hasn't been so bleak. It has been. There's been basically no levity to it at all. I don't think that how the writers are writing them and how they wrote them last night is an indication that they aren't interested in the relationship, or that they believe they're not worthy of those types of, like, the types of interaction and that type of validation that you're looking for. I think I would actually argue the opposite. It's really hard for me to watch this season as a whole and look at the attention that they've given that relationship. Like, even if it's not always, like it's hard for me to, like the why scene at the end of the second episode. Like, that was a revelatory moment. And I think it uncovered a lot in terms of what the writers were going for with this relationship in a positive way, not in a negative way. They've really put that relationship at, like, it's become really the focal point of the entire season and possibly even the series at this point. I think that they have actually demonstrated that repeatedly. I think what it sounds to me like what is really frustrating for you is that they continue to kind of manufacture obstacles, delaying their reunion and their ability to communicate effectively with each other. Right? Like, that's,
I think I go into it expecting miscommunication, because that's just what these two always do. So, I just think what they were able to, what they have shown an occasional ability to do is deliver. I'm talking the writers now. They've been able to show convincingly, in my opinion. I actually think the 504 stuff is probably the best example. I mean, there was, I agree with you, there was a lot wrong with 504. It was a little bit pandering, but by the way, they pandered in a way that made me really happy.
I know. I think that they're afraid of doing that. I mean, I totally agree with you. They wrote 504, and 504 is an outlier in terms of, like, the Carrie Quinn arc. Like it is an outlier, because they were very earnest in the way that they portrayed that relationship in that episode, and it kind of, it was sad and kind of wistful, and also kind of let Carrie and Quinn be like the partners in crime that so many people are drawn to, kind of that aspect and that dynamic of the relationship. But I really do feel very strongly that
the critical reaction to 504 was really good, though. Like, the critical reaction was very much like the show finally felt like it came together, because that's, getting back to what you said before, it does feel like the show was sort of starting to revolve around them a little bit, and that's what we didn't get last season a lot. And so we had watched three episodes last season, and then they were together. And then I think I remember four or five reviewers all saying, oh, it sort of suddenly felt like it kind of came into focus because the two of them.
Sure. Yeah. I do resonance. Remember that, but I really believe very strongly and very truly that the writers are, I think that they're committed to telling a story about Carrie and Quinn. And I think the question that
I don't doubt that either.
Right. The question that remains is what type of story that is. Is it a tragedy, or is it a, does it have some kind of, you know, I would never say happy ending because it's Homeland, but is it at the very least, is it tragedy or is it not that? Right. And that does remain an open question. This season has been relentlessly bleak in terms of that relationship, and it has really taken a lot of punches, but never have I sort of strayed from my belief that they were making that relationship center stage and following through on a lot of the sort of blanks that they, and like a lot of the questions that they left open at the end of season five. Like, one thing that I think is very telling about this show for the past three seasons is the credits and how the credits end. And this year they end with them embracing in the why scene. And the unspoken reason why at the end of episode two is that she's in love with him. And I think that they have spent the season fulfilling and sort of, I'm searching for the right phrasing here, but they asked that question at the end of episode two, right? Why did you save me? And she says, why? She can't even respond. I think they've spent the entire season showing how she loves him, the ways in which she loves him, and why she had to save him, or why she couldn't let him die. I guess that's a better sort of maybe word for it. I think they've spent the entire season doing that. And I understand for a lot of people that that's just not what they want to see, because the ways that they've done it have been brutal for Quinn, especially. Like, I totally get the argument of like, it's just too much. Like, it was almost gratuitous. Like, I get that, and I wouldn't argue against that. But I really do feel like they have done kind of an effective job, so much so that before the episode aired Saturday night, we were talking about, you know, the Carrie Quinn love question. And I said, basically, the only way that, you know, or I was saying that if they could craft some sort of Carrie type like love declaration, whether that's an I love you or something similar to that, then I would finally believe that she was in love with him. And I came away from last night's episode believing that she's in love with him, like, wholeheartedly. And that is something that I have never felt before. Even back when I was like shipping them like crazy, I never thought that she was in love with him. I thought that she loved him. I thought that maybe she wanted to start a relationship, but it, like, being in love with him was something that I didn't even consider, because it seemed too strong a word for what I felt her feelings truly were, even though I felt that, you know, she did have true feelings for him. But I came away from last night's episode believing that. And I'm hardly one, like, to wax, wax poetic about their relationship. But I am right now because I guess it's kind of sad for me that she didn't like it so much, because I thought that a lot of their scenes were really beautiful. And I did feel Carrie's pain very acutely. And I know you're right. That's probably one of the reasons why I reacted so strongly in the ways that I did, and why I reacted so strongly at the end of episode 2 as well. But I don't know. I thought that we'd been kind of waiting for, you know, half a season for them to interact again, right? They hadn't had a scene together since episode 6. I felt like we were kind of waiting for something, and they had built up this since basically the first or second episode of the season, this idea of guilt versus love. And is it just the mission? And, you know, she put him in that position, you know, when she woke him up from the coma. Like, that's something that I never would have expected they would have explored, but I really loved the way that they did. And it kind of is sad for me that the reactions felt so
sure that my reaction, we have to get to Ashley here. Yeah. So Ashley, I'm about to like, you know, springboard to you, but.
Oh, thank goodness. I've been sitting here for like 20 minutes.
I know, but, I'm not sure that my reaction is the norm for Carrie Quinn.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, we received a lot of asks today that seemed like they did actually really like the episode and did like the Carrie Quinn stuff. Like, it did actually feel validating to them, but I don't want that to dismiss your feelings.
Here's what was validating for you. So what I think was validating for you is that you, as a more or less exclusive Carrie watcher, like you watch it through her eyes, really wanted this confirmation that she was in love with him. Well, so I don't need that confirmation. I really don't. I've not needed that confirmation since season 4. I feel like maybe this is the issue. I feel like if you watch for Quinn or Carrie Quinn, and again, everyone who's listened to these podcasts know that I'm super circumspect about whether that is or is not the right way to watch the show. But at this juncture, that's how I watch the show. So I feel like I'm kind of 6 steps ahead of you in that. And maybe that is the issue, right? Like, if you convinced yourself, and many of us did in season 4, that, you know, she was in love with him, she was ready to start a life with him, and you don't freaking even consider that shit unless you're in love with somebody, then you don't need all this mishigas of the last 1 1/3 seasons, 11th, 12th of a season, to be convinced of that. I did not need her to, you know, be saying, it's never been about that, Quinn. You know, I know that from her. I know that she, you know, struggled with waking him up from the coma, and I know that she was willing to leave the CIA with him and all the stuff that we know in canon, because she never would have done that if she was not in love with him. So to watch this whole episode play out, which was just her trying to get him back to some version of humanity, I guess it was nice from a Carrie perspective, because it's all about Carrie finding her heart. But I feel like we've seen a season of that in 5 and a good part of this season. I get that she feels guilty, and I get that she is messed up with that, because it's intertwined with love. But the in love question was never on the table for me. So all of this not only feels like delaying, it just feels exhausting. And it feels, the degree to which they have taken Quinn's character down feels like exploitation, frankly, to me. I think that's where we sort of watch the show differently. But anyway, Ashley, we've had 25 minutes of discussion without you, and I'm sure you have things to say.
I do have things to say. So part of my whole feeling with regard to this show, and I've been thinking about this more over the past 25 minutes, is that
Sorry. We're going to let you talk.
For me, this... And the way I've always watched Homeland, because, as you know, I have really only been watching it on a weekly basis for the past two seasons, is that Homeland is very much a show that, for me, is best when it's viewed historically. So when I look back at the previous seasons and see how everything fits together, and it's not so much... I've never spent much time thinking about analyzing or criticizing during the season, and that's been a big struggle for me, and I think that's why I spend a lot of the time in these podcasts quiet, because I don't have the same sort of immediate reactions that you guys do. But I think that with regard to the Quinn stuff and the Carrie and Quinn stuff, I think it's all going to be made a lot clearer after 6/12. And maybe I didn't need it verbalized from Carrie, because I'm with Cynthia to some extent. We knew how Carrie felt. But at the same time, Carrie needed to say it. It needed to be said on screen. That point needed to be made. Just because we know it, if there's one thing that's been made clear to me from the asks that we've been receiving and the conversations we've been having, it is just that things are not obvious to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that a lot of people actually did need to hear it. And for me, I never doubted that she loved him, but I did make the distinction in my head and in the way that I talk about and write about the show of loving him versus being in love with him. Like, I actually consider them to be very separate things. And I could get to the love part, but I couldn't get all the way to the in love part. The in love part is, for me, like her wanting to start a life with him. And I think I got there actually at the end of season 4, but between season 4 and season 5, lost it.
Well, there was a 2.5 year gap that we never...
Yes, exactly.
That was so fucking bullshit.
Let's not get started on that, because I know you guys both feel really strongly. But I do think that there are actually a lot of people who did need to hear it, and it's not because they're not, you know, paying attention or not, you know, or not kind of analyzing the show really in depth. Like, I truly don't believe that if, like, you're not, like, writing into our blog with a question if you're not actually thinking about this show after you watch it, like, in an actual real and sustained way. I think that a lot of people did need to hear it because... And I totally agree with you, Ashley. She needed to say it. Like, she needed to verbalize that. And I think that, like, I think it was necessary. I think it was necessary from, like, a narrative standpoint and from a character standpoint that she said those words, because I think it cements for the audience that she's in love with him, and it cements for Carrie herself that she is as well.
Well, I think one of the things that I found particularly interesting, and one of the topics we've come back to several times, is where the fuck is Quinn's rock bottom? Like, wow.
I think we reached every episode.
Give the man a banana after.
Right? Exactly. I'm just so every done. Episode, it gets a little done. Bit worse. Yes, we know you're done. Every episode, it gets a little bit worse. And I think that the way this episode began was intense and excruciating, and I get really irritated when people use the word excruciating, because it literally means, like, Jesus Christ on the cross, but it was excruciating.
Is that what it means?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever done the derivation.
It's crucifixion. And I get really irritated when people use it wrong. I'm sure that shocks you.
I hope everyone in the podcast knows that Ashley is the world's best editor, actually. She will edit anyone's ask, or not ask, answer to an ask, and fic, one's business. So, oh my god.
A text message.
Okay, good. So, you found it excruciating, even in the hubris of that word.
Even in the etymology of the word, I found it excruciating.
However, it's just too much.
But the whole thing was that for that to be how the episode began, and I honestly, to be perfectly frank, I felt similarly about the monkey scene to you, Cynthia, until I read Sarah's perspective on it, and I was like, got it. So I think that
we should probably explain what that perspective was, but I kind of want to hear you explain it.
Okay, so, well, I mean, obviously it was horrifying to watch, and it was sort of humiliating to watch, just, like, cringy and embarrassing to watch. But at the same time, the way that you sort of interpreted it, which was that Quinn was feeling like a caged animal and he was expressing it, and that just came out, and Carrie just needed to watch it. And I mean, they've never been great at expressing themselves verbally. Quinn is less able to do so now. So for him to express that pain the way that he was, that was, it felt like there was a point to it.
My kind of take was that even the way they shot it, especially at the end when he was kind of crouched over and they closed it on his hand, like he's feeling like he's trapped in a body that's not his. Like when I just think about him being this kind of like this man who was a soldier and he was an assassin and he had a sturdy, like reliable body. And to be trapped, essentially he is trapped in a body now that's only halfway useful. Like he can't even use one half of it. He can't speak when he wants to say words. Like speaking as someone who has experienced the frustration of not being able to say exactly what you want to say, what you can like see in your mind's eye, it is so, it's so frustrating and it's so humiliating because you think of speech as just being something that's like innate to all people. And it's not like he had like a way with words before. He wasn't like a, you know, like a great, you know, vocal speaker or anything like that, but he could say what he wanted to say. And the fact that he's now essentially trapped in a body that he hasn't yet learned how to use and that feels restrictive, like I do think it is like he's a caged animal. And monkey is interesting because it implies, I mean, on the one hand it is like a caged animal, it's closest thing we have to like a human, but there's also this aspect of like mimicry to monkeys too, how they can kind of like impersonate they can impersonate other people and they can take on kind of human behaviors that I imagine is similar to how he must be feeling. Like he's close to a human, but not yet there. Like he must just feel like a mutant or something like that. And I think that him expressing that rage that he felt at himself, at the world around him, and especially at Carrie, like that actually felt totally deserved and totally just for the character. And I know it was uncomfortable to watch and it was humiliating and it was excruciating, but I think that was the point.
And it went on so long. It went on so long.
I really do think that was like the point. Like we were meant to just be like, like, holy fuck. Like this is, yeah, this is like, it's so bad. But I also think that it was cathartic for him. And that's why I didn't react so negatively, because I knew it was a moment that he needed. And I knew that Carrie, for her part, needed to just like let him have that moment. Like she needed to absorb that. She needed to absorb what he was saying to her to absorb that rage and just kind of let him sort of sit there. And I actually thought it was really powerful, and I really liked the scene. I thought it was extremely fascinating. So, but I do understand though,
like the scene, but I can appreciate it.
I understand why so many people didn't like it. Like, I totally get it.
Do you guys remember when, like, we actually suddenly realized that Carrie was going to have sex with Ion? Do you remember that, like, deep-seated moment of just complete disgust and horror at how low the show is willing to take us? That's...
Yes. Yes, I remember very clearly, because the very next day I was like... So, like, trying to put like an analytical spin on it. Like, by the way, it's really hard to spin something that's just like presented as completely monstrous as like, but let's actually look at it from like an analytical perspective. But that's
I actually am the girl that prides herself normally on being able to go to analytical. Mm-hmm. On the monkey scene, I was just like, enough, guys. Yeah, and I guess I am going analytical on that a little bit. I'm like, from a writer perspective, I'm like, fucking enough. Like, we get it. And I don't want to go down like the rabbit hole of sort of political correctness and disabilities and stuff, but I actually think that this is overdrawn caricature of disability. Like, it feels egregious. It on so many different levels, on like who we knew Quinn to be. So fine, they're doing that. They want us to, like, whatever I said before about destroying the hero. But they're also doing stuff about his disabilities that I don't, and whatever vestiges of who he was that remain in him, which we know are still there. We've seen them. He, you know, after Astra died, he went on his, you know, assassin mode. It just didn't ring. It didn't ring well from a narrative standpoint. It didn't ring well from every single. I didn't like it from the acting, directing, the amount of time they spent on it. Like, it just all felt like Gonza sitting in a room going, let's just... Break, like, it just felt like it, like, it just, there's just no reason to, we've seen him punching Astrid in the stomach. We have seen him throw a mug at Carrie. We have, you know, seen him have seizures in grocery stores. We get it. We absolutely, fundamentally, 100% get it, guys.
So, like, the show has never really been one to just like not lay it on super thick, though. Not that that's
they
like,
didn't do that with Brody. They didn't do this with Brody.
I think what they were going for with Brody was a little bit different. Like, they didn't have to sort of. I mean. Alex Gonza.
Power of David was egregious.
But what was the interview this week with Alex Gonza? Didn't he do some sort of interview? Did I imagine that?
I think he might be mad. I think I would remember.
He did one where he came out and he was like, the point of the season was to kind of sort of like bring Quinn down, like to tear down basically this like beloved character. That happened. I did not dream that.
Yeah, no. He's definitely said that.
Right. And so, like, they have done that and then some. Like, they took a character who was beloved, who, like, was a hero, was a soldier, and have basically undone every single aspect of him that they had built up over 4 seasons and said, let's just keep plucking, like, the petals off this thing and like see what's left. And I think that that's a valiant like narrative direction. Like, I think that's actually really interesting, because I kind of wonder, like, if Quinn hadn't died, like, what would they have done? They kind of wrote themselves into a corner if they wanted to keep him alive in a way that they kind of had to take him there. But I totally understand the argument that it's just too much. Like, they just took it too far. Like, it's kind of, but not exactly like what they did with Carrie in season 4, right? Like, they turned her into someone who was pretty repulsive and hard to watch, but not as extreme. Like, but she did, I think, like, objectively a lot worse shit than, like, maybe Quinn has done this year, like, to other people.
Yeah, so my other thought here, though, is just that we saw him come down to this point that was just terribly hard to watch. And it was the first time that Carrie really saw exactly how low he had come and exactly how far things had really progressed for him. And it was after that that she
Where are you in the narrative right now when you say that?
After the monkey scene. It was okay. The first time that Carrie had really seen it. Because, like, she saw the situation in her home. But even that, like, she knew what was going on. And I think here she sees what's happening and he kills Belly and she's telling him in her own Carrie fashion what he means to her and how much she loves him. And this is right after we have seen him at his lowest point. So our feeling is that it's very hard to watch. It makes maybe people feel less for Quinn, but it doesn't do that for Carrie. And I think that's sort of important.
Say that last point again. That's really interesting.
So everybody's response to this, especially in our side of things, then I can't watch this. It was horrible for Quinn. It was terrible to watch. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. But Carrie didn't feel that way. Like, after all of this, at the end of the episode, she was still saying, shut the fuck up. You're not that person. She was saying, I love you in the way that Carrie does. And however it may have impacted our feelings or thoughts about Quinn or about what the writers were doing, it didn't do that with Carrie. Carrie, it did not alter her opinion of him at all.
That's an interesting point. That's interesting
because, I wonder how much, and I wonder this honestly, and I consider myself a novice writer for this little fandom too, but as writers, how much they think of it that way, that Carrie needed to see that, right?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know either.
I think that's a nice way to explain something that is difficult to explain. Like, if you're talking about, like, the monkey scene, like, did Carrie need to see, like, does her later admission, like, land with more weight because of kind of what she saw earlier? And I think that maybe perhaps, but I also, my interpretation of the monkey scene was it was Quinn's catharsis and release, and he needed to like unleash his rage, his rightful rage. He needed to do that, and Carrie needed to be the receptacle of that. Like, yeah.
Agreed, but I think that there's more than one reason for it.
Oh, sure.
By the way, a small plot point, the man would not have been, he earlier in the episode told her to shush because they're right next door, all those guys. So small plot point, I'm like, why is he shrieking? Because it's what, a couple hours later? I was like, I actually had like a moment where I was like, really, they really needed to get a fucking monkey scene in there that badly that they're going to have the special ops guys shrieking when he hushed her earlier. I was like, oh, Kanza, like the rage, it hadn't been that much since 512 in me. It just felt like just such a, anyway, I've said it before, I'll say. But I will say, going back to Carrie, because it is an interesting thing, I thought it was interesting how she looped back to him at the doorway. She looped back, you're right about Berlin, I should have told you. And not that Carrie's not capable of that kind of self-reflection, because I think she is, and she's done it before. But I thought it was I thought the pacing of that scene was nice. They did a good reaction from
Quinn. We should talk about the light. Sorry.
Oh, God damn. The light.
Sorry. So first, I need to kind of interrupt because it's
been punting a bit.
It's been like 20 minutes, and I've been able, while you guys were talking in the background, to look up the photos from the panel tonight. Rupert is clean shaven. He like shaved off the facial hair under his chin.
Thank God. Looks very, very handsome. And Joseph.
He looks very handsome. And
I saw the pictures too. Like I went on Twitter at some point. His hair's a little greased up.
I think that I just saw a photo of them at the panel. Apparently the first question is, why is Carrie not brunching with friends in Brooklyn?
She doesn't have any friends.
Oh yes. Well, Carrie never has any friends.
Oh, you guys. Anyways. Okay, let's talk about the light. Ashley has theories.
We've been punting a little bit about that on the blog because no one really wants to talk about the light.
I think that the light... Oh, Ashley, I think it's interesting.
I'll talk about the light. Just nobody wants to listen to me.
Interesting theories, but Ashley, go ahead. Talk about your light.
Oh well, wait. I'm looking at the Twitter. They didn't put Claire and Rupert next to each other. That's interesting. Go ahead.
They put her at the center. Apparently, Rupert just said this. One of the things I applaud about the Homeland team is the risks they're willing to take. Then Quinn turns into a monkey.
That's very relevant to this discussion.
It is very relevant.
I'm going to tweet that right now.
Excellent. Okay, so the light. So light has been a recurring theme since season 5. She decided to save him, or decided to, I guess, not save him, but not kill him. And the light came in through the window. And it was a Jesus light or a coma dream, whatever you want to call it. And I was pausing because I thought you guys would laugh more.
I was doing my silent laugh, like instead of my guffaw. I was doing my silent laugh instead of my guffaw.
I see. Okay. So
the Jesus light,
the coma dream. Anyway, in this episode, light was. It was huge. It was a really big thing. And specifically when they reflected the let me go, and then he goes out into the light. Like, the whole point of this entire season has been about Carrie learning to let go and to accept things. And he's gone. He goes into the light. Going toward the light is, like, the number one metaphor for, like, accepting death. I'm sorry. It just is. Quinn is gonna die.
I think that the let me go is actually going to be different. So I don't think it's going to be literal, like, let me go into the light, like, into the light of death or whatever. I think it's like she...
Well, he said let me go, and he went into the light.
I know, but I don't think he meant let me go, like, let me die.
We have multiple choices. We have multiple choices coming up on this front.
All right.
But... Can I actually have like a moment of real time blog business, because I actually think people will be entertained. He also looked at the window right before he took drugs in 601, and it was an artificially light scene, and the brunette prostitute, Justine says, you know, what do you see? And he just said, another world. So every single time I try to put this in an answer to an ask, Sarah somehow figures out a way to delete it because she doesn't think it's really light.
Oh, my God. That is totally false.
Twice. I swear to God. I'm like, there's been plenty of
that did not happen. I have never deleted that. That's not happening. I swear. I'm not deleting that.
No, it doesn't matter. I actually find our mutual editing process to be hysterical.
That is like, funny you often add sentences to my replies that I look back on later and say, why did she write that?
I never said that.
I don't agree with that.
The good news is we all have enough. You very much soften
my rough edges, but... Yeah, like I was looking at a response where you added like a sentence this morning or something to one, and you were like, "We think that this," and I wanted to reply and say, "Who thinks that? I do not think that. Like, that who is we?" But yeah, you.
Oh yeah, I noticed that in all of your answers you say "we," and I'm like, "Who is the we here?"
I know. Well, so we kind of, there is kind of a we, because we're all sort of, we all chat constantly on WhatsApp, but it all depends on who's there for what chat, right? So at what point do you consider it a consensus, and at what point were there two people there who happen to agree with you or something? It's a little rough, but for the most part. I just
consider it Cynthia's royal we.
God. It's meant to be, it's meant to be happy and positive as much as we can be about this fucking show. But the light. So anyway, never mind. There's been twice I've tried to mention that there was an artificially, when we were making gifts or something, I'm like, there was light around him looking at the window. And Sarah was like, there is not light. And I'm like, I swear to God, he talked about it being another world as he was looking out the window, and it was, to me, yet another reference to the light. And, you know, we can all have my
maybe little... Maybe it was a reference to his life being a soap opera.
Well, there's a whole fucking soapy part of this thing. But I will say that I think you can look at it two ways, right? When he said another world, it could be about the letter, about how, you know, he's used to... What was the verbiage in the letter? He said... the false glamour, I'm used to that. They happen all the time in the desert. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of another world. It can also be like the man died and they have this recon around how he died yet again in the ambulance, which, by the way, we've never talked about in the podcast, but that reconning of that entire idea that he died in the ambulance was...
Do you mean a retcon? Complete...
Yeah, sorry, retcon. That is... I mean, they literally just did that to make Harry look better. I mean, there was nothing in season 5 about that, and they did it this year just to make her look more sacrificial and into Quinn.
Maybe she lied to him. Maybe it was a lie.
You don't believe she would have. You of all people would never
believe that. I actually find it interesting when, so I was talking, I thought that was, I think I responded to this and Ask earlier today. Or maybe yesterday, anyways, but I remember having to vocalize this recently, but remember like in season 1, there's the whole plot line in the weekend when she's talking to Brody about the translator that she lost. And
yes, you mentioned that today.
Yeah. I used to totally believe that. And then probably like a year and a half ago, I was rewatching the series, I think probably in anticipation for the beginning of season 4 to start maybe. And I was like, I think she totally fucking lied about that. Like, I think she just like pulled that story out of her ass and it was totally made up. And I found it so fascinating to think about what part of Carrie, because it is something that I truly believe, like earnestly, I think that there's support for it in canon. I mean, it's not obviously like a widely held belief. It's like me, party of one that just has this sort of theory, but I was just, like, it's just interesting for me. Like, I'm not someone who necessarily has
sociopathic
to.
Sociopathic, though. That's super like I mean,
she was doing it at that point.
It's hilarious.
In my sort of headcanon of her lying about this thing, it was because at that point she was still playing him, and there are moments in that scene, and I think maybe in season 5 they like confirm again that it was real, maybe in like the flashback episode or something, but there are like points in the scene in the weekend where she's like, she doesn't seem entirely like sure of the story that she's telling. And once I was like, maybe she's just not telling the truth about that, that kind of like thought really took hold in my brain. It's like, couldn't shake it. I don't actually believe that she was lying to Quinn, but like she could have been distorting the truth in a way. Anyways, I
love it when you go to confirm my darkest beliefs about Carrie.
When you, I don't think that she's a sociopath. I don't think that she's a sociopath, but she has some issues. One thing that I wanted to talk about, just in the context of Let Me Go, is this, you know, there's this theory, I suppose, or prediction or speculation that season 6 will conclude with Quinn sort of leaving to go off and kind of heal and like sort of rebuild himself away from Carrie, and how Carrie needs to let him go, like needs to let him do that. She's holding on to him so tightly, and the refrain this season that she needs to let him go has been really interesting to me, because mm-hmm. before this season, it was reversed for me. I had this belief in my head that Quinn loved Carrie too much in a way that was too much for her. Like it was like it, like his love for her would basically suffocate her, just because she wouldn't know how to handle it. She wouldn't know how to accept that love in a way that would be healthy for either of them. That was a theory that I had, and you know, created evidence for and sort of foundation for. I think there's a lot of that kind of in the season 4 finale, but that was a theory that I had. And this season, like in canon, I feel like they've basically been like, Carrie loves him too much and she is suffocating him. Whether or not that's like valid for either of them to feel is one matter, but that's actually what's happening. And it's interesting to me that he's actually the one who can tell her to let go. It's just an interesting kind of role reversal from how mm-hmm.
He's always been trying to tell her to let him go.
What do you mean?
Season 4, season 5.
When did he do that in season 4?
Season 4, when he was trying to murder Hakani, and she was like, "I can't lose you," and he was like, "Well,
that doesn't count." I don't think that's really like let me go. I think that he's never been in a position where, I think, like this episode, we agree that Quinn understands and knows that Carrie is in love with him, right? Like we think that's.
I might disagree. We don't have to go down a rabbit hole of who knows what, when, where, how, because at some point I actually find it like
it's okay. Just
annoying but I don't actually think that Quinn understands that.
I don't think Quinn is capable of believing that. Not right now, especially, but I mean, I don't think he's ever really been in a place. There was that brief window in 4/12 where he was like willing to put it out there, but I think especially after, and I think I mentioned this to you guys earlier, but it only just occurred to me today that I think Quinn spent the beginning of season 6, especially like the whole hug from hell, thinking maybe there was more to it than just guilt, and then Dara comes and crushes it, and which is why he was so unable to accept that Astrid was there for him, because it was for him, and it was because Dara had literally just killed any thoughts he might have had about what Carrie was doing it for. So I don't think Quinn is absolutely at all, even a little bit, capable of thinking in any way. I don't know how clear I'm being here about how I feel, but I don't think he got the same impression that we got.
Okay, but he does say let me go, like you have to let me go. You think it's just him being like,
Carrie's tenacious, like he knows that when she is doing something, she's doing it all the way. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
so I think that Quinn is telling her to just fucking quit it already.
Ugh, yeah. So depressing.
It's so depressing. We got an ask in the last 24 hours that was doing what I might have done as the person I am, not as invested, quite as invested as I am right now. But she said something like, you know, maybe Quinn will go off and be able to heal without Carrie. Or no, actually the opposite. She will be able to help him through his rehab and healing instead of the way she's done, which is just let him carry on. Which is so funny because I was like, actually, I had to take a moment because when you're answering asks, you really have to focus. And I was like, you know what they gave us? They gave us the fact that she was, you know, visiting him for 6 months every day. She knew his PT. She knew his attending nurse. She knew when his appointments were. I think that she might have been way too present for him. Like, it's just
I think that that's like, that is what happened. Like, I think that's
but they do these fact. Time jump. But they do these time jumps, right? Where you forget what they're telling. I mean, they told us a lot in 601. And it's so easy to assume she wasn't, but she was. She was all there, and I kind of appreciate that they kind of have made that a part of her, canon for her. It's like, I just think,
yeah.
Where it was, so, but back to the point. There's two points which we can either talk about getting to what the fuck the light's all about and letting me go and where that's taking us. And the other part is, does anyone care to talk about Dar and Max?
I was going to say, we've been talking about Carrie and Quinn for over an hour. But maybe that's okay. Maybe, like, other things, Dar and Max, I don't know. I don't know what your, like, multiple choice quiz is, if it's going to touch on any of the, like, plot aspects of this episode. I think one thing... Yeah, I think before we can just depart from the Carrie Quinn stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I do want to say, because it's important to me to vocalize this. I've only just written it in the tags of a post, but the scene in the Flag House after Quinn kills Belly, which I think is actually rock bottom for him. Like, the way that he just, like, annihilates that guy's face.
Yeah.
Me face.
Yes. By the way, gifting that was really unpleasant, but I felt I had to do it for the blog. You gotta have that parallel.
Yeah, we appreciate your sacrifice.
That scene afterward when he's sitting at the table covered in this guy's blood and Carrie's sort of pacing back and forth trying to sort of prep him for
the Solicitor General.
I was gonna say the Attorney General, but I knew that was wrong. The Solicitor General to come, and then he just kind of starts to dig into himself and say all these things in front of her, you know, about how this is all I can do. Like, I'm a killer. Like, this is what I can do. It's the only thing that I've ever been able to do. And then he points to his heart and he's like, there's nothing in here. There never was. And she says, just shut the fuck up. And like that to me, that moment was so, well, it was so painful for Carrie. And I actually like love the way that they scripted that, because it's such an unlikely moment to reveal like true love between them for her to just be like, shut the fuck up, dude. But it was so, like, I love that moment, and it was so painful for me to watch because, like, she's in love with him. She loves him so much, and he's just telling her, like, all of the things that she sees and that she recognizes about him is just being like, it doesn't exist. And it's so sad, and I think so tragic that he's not yet at the place where he can look at it from the other side and kind of see what she sees. And like that moment for me, as I rewatched it, was that was the moment that solidified that she was in love with him, because I think it must be so painful and so hurtful to have this man that you love and that you're in love with kind of say these things out loud to you that you just know aren't true and that you know are lies. And it was like one of the most affecting moments for me on this show in a very, very long time. And I just wanted the chance to say that, because I think people were surprised that I felt that way and surprised that I expressed that emotion.
Oh yes, in the tags.
Yeah, regarding this relationship that I have had a very sort of public and vocal
and rocky relationship with.
Yeah, I was gonna say sometimes antagonistic relationship toward. And I did just want, you know, the chance to say that, because you know, for the people that just listen and maybe don't read the tags and stuff like that. But sorry, we can carry on now with the multiple choice unless there's more on the Carrie Quinn front.
I thought that was really that I thought that was the best part of my day, reading that like tag thing. It was hysterical, and I don't tend to read tags.
It was hysterical.
Would you even have read it if I didn't reblog it?
No, I read it on your reblog. No,
it was hysterical.
No, it was funny. At first it was funny because it was in tags, and I was like, oh, okay, this is very millennial. We're expressing our feelings in tags.
That's what you do on Tumblr.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know what? Sarah like has run a blog for 4 years. She can express her views however she wants, and she does it in a passive aggressive tagging way.
That's how you do it on Tumblr.
That's like Tumblr. Okay, culture.
Whatever, ladies. Okay. So that was number one. Number two, I was like, oh my god, this is incredibly sweet, because that's what tags do. They like make you get succinct in how you are reacting to things. And I thought it was super honest and super awesome. And I love that at least a couple of asks have just been like, we get you. And I think that's awesome. So do we want to talk at all about Spy Plot or Max and Dar, or should we leap into multiple choice questions?
I vote
multiple
for leap. Choice. Yeah, let's leap. Let's leap.
Okay. Will Dar die?
Yes.
I was gonna say, like, a week ago, I was like, yes, absolutely. But they're being kind of weird with him, kind of backtracking on some of his, like, nefariousness. Like, all of a sudden, he cares, like, what's happening with Quinn. And so, I'm gonna say yes, but would not be surprised if he didn't.
Okay, so I'm in the firm camp of no, but for the two of you, who will kill him? Saul, Carrie, Quinn, or someone else?
I believe earlier today I speculated on a firing squad that included Astrid's ghost.
Okay, we're going to take that.
Who will kill him? Fair. Oh, I think he'll die in some sort of attack, and he won't be killed by any specific character.
I think it'll be sacrificial.
Okay, go but on. If it had to be a character, because we're...
It'd be Quinn.
If it had to be a character, I would choose Quinn, but he just killed Belly in, like, a really graphic way. But I don't think it'll be Carrie, because I don't think that they'd ever have Carrie kill another actual character, and it's not going to be Saul. So okay. I guess Quinn by default.
Okay. All right, just for the record, sex, yes or no?
No.
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 By the way, since we're on the topic of it, I have to read you a Claire quote from the panel. This is what she says. There are a lot of romances that play with Carrie this season. They're just not sexual. She has very deep and complex attachments. So I think the sex
what
question.
What the fuck are these multiple romances?
Yeah, multiple. Because we had one scene with Otto.
I think maybe she's talking about, like, the professional romance between her and Saul.
Oh, God.
Sure. That's a
guys,
thing.
Don't make me explain things that Claire says. Like, I don't know how to do that. Sometimes I'm just like, who the fuck knows what she's talking about?
Fucking fuck fuck.
What I think
okay. Loretta, like, by the way.
The best strategy towards dealing with what Claire and Rupert say, and really what anyone that's involved in this show says, is you selectively choose the things that you agree with and shine the spotlight on those.
So it's like religion?
Ignore the fact that all the other stuff exists. And it works.
All right. So she said non-sexual. Okay. Check that box.
She said, there are a lot of romances that play with Carrie this season. That's weird wording, by the way. They're just not sexual. She has deep/very complex attachments.
Right.
I don't know. That's a big old.
Okay.
That's like a big old Claire.
So I guess the answer is that she's going to run away with Retta.
By the way,
I think that's what we're going to find out.
I bet that response or whatever they tweeted was like in response to someone being like, so are Carrie and Quinn gonna have sex this season? I bet that's what she said. Like, I bet she said that. Like, that's a total clear response to this question that she's just like doesn't want to answer.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway,
I'm embarrassed for everyone on the pit. Okay, so let's just put Dar aside for a second, because I actually don't think he's gonna die. But if anyone else is gonna die in a hail of bullets, who's gonna die?
Keen. Ooh, wait.
Saul, Carrie, Quinn. Who else is in the mix? Saul, Carrie, Quinn.
I think the chief of staff is toast.
Emmons.
He's toast.
Emmons could be toast. I think Max could be toast. I really do think.
If they kill Max, I might have to check out.
No, you can handle it.
I could handle it, but
he had his second life. He had his second life this season.
No, he's not gonna die.
I don't think he's gonna die either. He's too beloved. Okay,
so am I the only fucking person alive that thinks there's a possibility they're gonna kill Saul?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I think you're the only person like. Yes, for he's not gonna die.
I think Mandy is retiring. Have you looked at his Instagram? He's like, I'm saving refugees all over the world with my wife of like 1,000 years. And like, I just feel like, I don't know, all the Emmy stuff, all of it. I just feel like he's winding down. But
no,
maybe
they're
not.
Setting up. Anyway.
Okay. So if someone else is going to die, you're saying Keen? Is that right, Sarah?
I'm saying her chief of staff.
You're saying Rob? Okay. Rob Emmons is going to die. Go out on a limb there, Sarah.
I think O'Keefe might die.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah, why is he
I forgot that he existed.
No,
I forgot that he was a character who could die.
But the devil can never die.
All right. Yeah, I don't. I don't understand how he can be put in a situation where he dies, unless it's like
okay,
whatever. All right, let's go.
My last issue is a pet project. Why? Like, let's just assume for a second that Keen might die. Why has no one in this fandom that I've seen on any blogs anywhere had the question of who the fuck the vice president is? Because it actually matters.
I was thinking about that, but only because you kind of planted the seed in my head that, like, who the fuck is the vice president, by the way? Like, shouldn't they be conversing about her strategy? Like, she doesn't seem to have any cabinet, and they're nearing her inauguration. Like, shouldn't she be picking out, like, a team and, like, an administration? Anyways, I agree with you. Like, the lack of vice president presence is a little weird. Maybe they thought that they had too much vice president nonsense in the first two seasons.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm too much of a drink X-Files person, but I think McClendon is her vice president, and we don't know.
I don't have any alcohol.
I finished
my
wine.
Well, you can drink some water. We don't know who her VP is, and I'm like, who would have the biggest agenda to get her killed? It would be a VP who wanted to be president.
I think that they've made it clear that McClendon is just in the national security establishment, and they hate her, and he has agendas. Like, all of the sort of, like, plot mechanics of this season are just like old white men losing their grip on power and like and like trying desperately to cling onto some like vestige of influence that they can see is slipping away from them, and doing like the most revolting shit to sort of stay in the wings of power. Like, that's what this entire season is about.
However, Cynthia, if it does turn out that McClendon is the vice president and you're right about this, then
I'll be such a fucking superhero, right? I mean, I know. Sure. Or I'll either be like the biggest idiot, because yeah, and then Saul will die, McClendon will be vice president. No, I you know what? I don't actually care that much about predictions, because I feel like when I think about where I was right before 5/12, I was the predictions I in my headcanon versus what happened.
I have no more credibility in this fandom to just be like, this is what's gonna happen, because I totally fucking blew it. I've come to terms with it. It's like, I'm a human person. I, for the record, I interpreted like exactly what was going to happen, but they just like did a fake out on me. But yeah, I think predictions are fun, but I don't put too much stock into whether, well, if I'm wrong, I'm just like, who the fuck cares? It's a prediction. If I'm right, it's like, I am the master of the Homeland universe and like nobody can touch me, sort of a thing. So again, I like,
I can't remember so what that, other semi predicted this year, but
I'm actually not gonna,
you predicted Astra dying, you predicted Astra,
I know,
dying.
I know,
I'm not good at actually predicting plot stuff. I'm very good at predicting when like trailers for the new season will come out, though. That's my talent. That's my resume talent. Is I can usually pinpoint the Friday when they will release the first promotional materials for a new season. So I've kind of honed that down as into like a science.
Great.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wing of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. We're shaving.